Good evening. In the news tonight, the UN Global Climate Summit is underway in Paris. Its goal is to reach an accord for reducing man-made greenhouse gases causing global warming. Hateful rhetoric and easy gun access contributing factors to the attack on Colorado's Planned Parenthood clinic. And WBAI has lost one of our own, veteran radio host Simon Lokley. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Monday, November 30th, 2015. The UN Climate Conference is underway in Paris, a city on edge in the wake of the November 13th coordinated terrorist attacks by Daesh, the so-called Islamic State militants. Judith Pasternak Mahoney is in Paris, where protests have been banned. She filed this report.
Undaunted, they danced, they drummed, they chanted, "Changez le système pour le climat," change the system for the climate. There is no planet B, and sometimes no justice, no peace. Yesterday, on the eve of the UN Climate Summit in Paris, some 10,000 very diverse but all militantly exuberant activists here joined hundreds of thousands around the world in human chains pleading for a sustainable future. The Paris chain reached 3 kilometers, 2 miles, from Place de la Nation at the eastern edge of the city toward Place de la République near its center. The relatively low number of demonstrators in Paris, where normally it's not hard to mobilize 10 times that many, with the result of negotiations between protest organizers and the Paris police. Last Monday, in response to the November 13th massacre of 130 people in 5 Paris locations, the government of President François Hollande declared a state of emergency that included bans on all demonstrations, including those around the summit meeting. The action was peaceful, except for a skirmish between riot police and one set of masked protesters at the heavily policed Place de la République, where earlier other activists had placed 20,000 shoes representing absent, that is banned, demonstrators. 317 people were arrested. Judith Mahoney Pasternak, WBAI News, Paris.
The last major climate agreement was the 1997 Kyoto Protocol. It required only rich nations to cut carbon dioxide emissions, and the U.S. never signed on. This time, the agreement aims to be more inclusive. Wu Hongbo is U.N. Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs.
I hope that the Paris Conference will send a strong and clear message that the Sustainable Development Agenda, sustainable way of developing our economy, is the only way out.
Wu says carbon transformation is necessary, but it needs to be done at a national level. According to the UN, that means common but differentiated responsibilities among developed and developing nations. Since the Kyoto Accord, global temperatures and sea levels have continued to rise, and the Earth has seen an extraordinary run of extreme weather. The question is whether the global climate treaty being worked on will be binding. Key issues include how much industrial countries should pay the developing world to compensate them for damages they caused by burning fossil fuels, and whether the goal for capping warming temperatures should be lowered from 2 degrees centigrade to 1.5 degrees. While climate protests have been banned in Paris on Sunday, there were more than 2,300 demonstrations with more than a 500,000 people across the planet. This, of course, includes New York City. Mark Dunley reports.
The People's Climate Movement in New York and dozens of labor, faith, and community groups mobilized an estimated 5,000 New Yorkers at City Hall. They called on Mayor de Blasio to be a world leader on climate change and for New York City to transition to 100% clean energy, wind, solar, geothermal conservation by 2030. The groups outlined reforms such as committing to offshore wind, solarizing all public buildings, mandating the energy retrofit of all buildings, increase in mass transit, and divesting the city's pension funds from all fossil fuels, not just coal.
Together, we can go 100% renewable.
But together we can, dare I say it,
change the world!
Change the world!
Bill Nye, the science guy, was a featured speaker at the march. He said the climate is changing. It's our fault, and we have to get to work on this now. The most important greenhouse gas has almost doubled in less than 2 centuries. New York City is sending an official delegation to the climate talks. the mayor will host a telephone town hall on Tuesday, December 1st at 6 p.m. Climate activists hope the mayor will use the opportunity to announce new actions that the city will take to combat climate change. The mayor did recently commit the city to purchase its own electricity, about $600 million a year, from new renewables. Advocates hope this will include offshore wind. Mark Dunley, WBAI News, New York.
President Barack Obama is among more than 150 world leaders attending the conference.
I've come here personally as the leader of the world's largest economy and the second largest emitter to say that the United States of America not only recognizes our role in creating this problem, we embrace our responsibility to do something about it.
Obama's job is to convince others the U.S. can make good on its commitments to limit greenhouse gas emissions. He said one of the enemies we will be fighting at this conference is cynicism, the notion we can't do anything about climate change. Obama saluted the people of Paris for going through with the climate summit in spite of the recent attacks. The attack has prompted an aggressive response from Western countries, with France ramping up military operations against the so-called Islamic State group. The UN Climate Summit is scheduled to continue through December 11th, and you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Details on the man accused of opening fire at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs show he lived a troubled, isolated life in the mountains of South Carolina and Colorado. The 57-year-old made his first appearance in court Monday by video. He's accused of killing a police officer and two civilians, an Iraq War veteran, and a mother of two who were accompanying separate friends to the clinic. The rampage touched off an hour-long standoff and shootout Friday that also left nine other people in hospital.
Abortion on demand and without apology.
Before Roe v. Wade, I had an illegal abortion. Women will always have abortions. They'll never stop them. They'll only stop safe, legal ones. It was a very, very scary thing, and nobody should have to go through that.
Jean Merritt stood with other protesters at the south end of Union Square over the weekend, standing up for a woman's right to abortion on demand without apology. Right after the attack, Cecile Roberts, who's president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America and Planned Parenthood Action Fund, said, "We know why this happened. Extreme rhetoric and lies told by those opposed to safe and legal abortion has created a toxic environment and bred acts of violence."
At this point, an abortion clinic is forced to close every week and a half in this country.
Sansara Taylor is with Stop Patriarchy.
We are here to wake up the public, to stand up and say it's time for people to stand up and fight back against a fascist wind that is blowing in this country. Forcing women to have children against their will is a form of female enslavement. This has to be opposed. We need to be in the streets. We need to be joining with those standing up against police murder and terror. It's all one attack. The attacks coming down on black people and Black Lives Matter protests, the violent assault on the Planned Parenthood, this is a fascist wind blowing in this country.
We're visiting for Thanksgiving holiday and came across the protest and both felt like this was something that we would stand behind.
Jennifer Strickers lives in Kansas City, Missouri. She teaches in Kansas City, Kansas. She's visiting New York City with her friend Jennifer Slish, who's also from Missouri. They don't see protests which stand up for abortion rights and women's lives back home. They say they see propaganda on the other side of the issue,
which is that you'll all burn in hell and you know, the horrible things that they tell women will happen to them if they go through with a procedure like this, instead of the understanding that women have the intellectual abilities to make choices and we don't need our politicians to make those choices for us.
See lots of the Fred Phelps Westboro Baptist Church is very active in our area. So a lot of anti-gay protests, anti-abortion protests. It's not very tolerant of anything that's not their interpretation of the Bible. That someone would be throwing things at us if we were doing this where we live.
Absolutely. And I think there's a stigma to people standing on the corner saying that women should have their own choices. Where we live now is very conservative, and women should just kind of go with the status quo. And the status quo of the Midwest and the South does not include choice.
Dawn Le Guin of Planned Parenthood released a statement which said it's offensive and outrageous that some politicians are now claiming the tragedy has nothing to do with the toxic environment they helped create. She goes on to say, even when the gunman was still inside of our health center, politicians who have long opposed safe and legal abortion were on television pushing their campaign to defund Planned Parenthood and invoking the discredited video smear campaign that reportedly fed this shooter's rage. While officials from Planned Parenthood are blaming inflammatory rhetoric for the attack, others are pointing to the disparity in the way the Colorado shooter was treated, being taken into custody alive, and police shootings of black youth like Laquan McDonald in Chicago and Jamar Clark in Minneapolis.
You know, you see once again that, you know, what's happening when the police are gunning down black and brown youth all over this country.
Noche Diaz is with NYC Rev Club and the Stop Mass Incarceration Network.
You see here, part of a whole whipping up of racist white supremacy and male supremacy that's going on around the country. This is just a week after the shooting in Minneapolis where protesters demanding justice for Jamar Clark in Minneapolis were shot at by white supremacist thugs, and the police were more concerned with pepper spraying and attacking the protesters than protecting them from the shootings. And here we have, Planned Parenthood coming under attack in this kind of a way because of the whole program and polarization in society between a more openly fascistic, reactionary, white supremacist, male supremacist movement that is very armed and very dangerous and violent and carrying out acts of terrorism. But what this system more concerned about is continuing to suppress protests who are demanding an end to the murder and terror carried out by the police against black and brown people. And they're more concerned with protecting the rights of these, fundamentalist religious nut jobs than protecting the right of women to be full human beings and control their own bodies.
Angela Burns, who works for the New York City Department of Education, says society needs to find its moral center.
There's a total fracturing and disintegration that's happening when outbursts of violence like the outburst of violence in Colorado Springs happened, as the same that happened when the Black Lives Matter protesters were shot at. There's a continuing pattern here that's an outcry. When there's a generation after generation of disparity between those who have access to education and access to healthcare and access to proper nutrition and just a basic dignity as a human being, these kinds of outbursts are actually symptoms of a societal systemic illness. So it's terrible and it's tragic that that these people have been violent as individuals. But what's more tragic is that our society is not practicing a more collectivist mentality, a more humane generational passing down. What do we think of ourselves as a society rather than us and them, right and wrong?
Meanwhile, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy contested remarks by Planned Parenthood defenders that harsh language by the group's critics helped create a hostile political environment that could encourage people to react violently against the organization. McCarthy said last week's fatal shootings won't affect a House probe of the group for providing fetal tissue to researchers. He said he still expects lawmakers to debate federal funding for Planned Parenthood this month as they consider spending legislation for the current fiscal year. In other news, former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, once one of New York's most powerful politicians, was convicted today of charges that he traded favors to earn $5 million illegally and then lied about it. The Manhattan federal court jury returned the verdict after a three-week trial in which prosecutors claimed that the 71-year-old Democrat repeatedly promised the favors so he could enrich himself. The defense countered that the government was trying to criminalize the longtime routines of politics in Albany. Letitia James, New York City's public advocate, said today's verdict may be the end of one sad chapter, but it must also be the beginning of a new chapter in which public services triumphs over greed, and in which fidelity to voters triumphs over addiction to power. Our state leaders must use this day to finally put in place badly needed reforms so New Yorkers can have a state government they can be proud of. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Violence, abuse, and scandal have been plaguing the Rikers Island prison complex. At a recent forum at the new school, prison reform advocates came together to discuss closing the prison. as a result of a federal class action lawsuit, Nunez versus City of New York. The de Blasio administration has initiated reforms at the prison, a new use of force policy and incident reporting system, and adding 8,000 new video cameras within 2 years, as well as a search for an alternative off-site for juveniles. But there's a growing number of community groups, advocates, and elected representatives who say the piecemeal changes are not enough. Their cry is getting louder.
There's only one reform serious enough to warrant consideration here. Close Rikers.
Glenn Martin, formerly with the Fortune Society, is now with Just Leadership USA with the goal of shutting down Rikers. He says attention being paid is for good reason.
People who are held on Rikers, the majority without being convicted of a crime, simply because they cannot afford bail, must survive barbaric conditions. Many don't survive on the island. Jason Echeverria and Carlos Mercado both died on Rikers. Victor Woods went into a violent seizure while a guard sat watching him and drinking his cup of coffee. There were 10 deaths last year alone, and stabbings and slashings have doubled since 2010. Yesterday, the city announced it had reached settlements for a total of over $5 million for the deaths of Carlos and Jason. The settlement sizes are indications, I believe, that the city recognizes that there is a problem. Unfortunately, other people don't survive the trauma of Rikers once they're off the island. Can anyone read about the saga of Khalif Browder without concluding that something is profoundly wrong here?
Martin says people who have been at Rikers have physical and emotional scars, trauma which remains with New Yorkers for the rest of their lives, and he says the omission of their voices and policy is deafening, that it speaks to the social distance between those who affect policy and those they impact.
We need to create a 21st century correction system that is a national model rather than an urban shame.
New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer.
As we implement the consent decree, I believe we must also plan for the day when Rikers Island can be safely and responsibly closed, because part of the problem at Rikers is Rikers itself.
Stringer says while the population at Rikers is declining, the cost per person incarcerated has skyrocketed to $112,000. He says we need a system which delivers justice and security.
And the only way to do this is to create a system that recognizes the difference between violent, nonviolent, mentally ill, and most importantly, child.
Stringer says that's how you build a safe city, and he calls for an implementation plan to close down Rikers.
And you are tuned to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 on your FM dial.
And finally, WBAI lost one of our own, Simon Lokley. He was a broadcaster over WBAI's airwaves for more than 35 years. He passed away in Queens on Saturday of pancreatic cancer. He was 62 years old. Jim Freund has more.
Simon Lokley started out at WBAI in the drama and literature department in the early 80s. Then he settled into freeform radio.
I have spent the last 3 days without a computer, for reasons I will not go into, but I have found this to be a rather refreshing respite. It's sort of like a vacation through time travel. You know, I'm back to the 20th century, yes, forward into the past. Going and ever twirling. And this sense of being in a pre-computer age is, I must say, it's an illusion that is fortified by the fact that the last couple of days I've only been playing music recorded in 1935. So with a little bit of imagination, and that's about all you get this morning, with a little bit of imagination, it's easy to imagine oneself 80 years in the past, especially if you've got, you know, Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington and, I guess we could say a little Count Basie as your accompaniment. And to further this illusion, to further this holiday, I removed myself to my sun-bright kitchen, which removes me from some of the 21st century traffic noise. You know, the buses today do not sound like buses did 80 years ago. And gazing into the backyard and the yards beyond, there's a certain tranquility, which really cannot be beat. Sean and I were talking about the delights of the rooftop garden here. And in the morning, you know, as dawn approacheth, and the birds begin to sing, and there's a gentle breeze wafting from off the East River, you know, and you say, ah, this is rather nice, you know, and you get that sense of, my goodness, I can escape from New York. And so there is this sense of tranquility, this calm, and doing things the old-fashioned way, you know, going back to primary sources. Why, I don't have a computer to look things up on. I guess I'll have to use a book, which is, well, that's no real hardship for me. And, you know, I could almost say that I recommend this.
Locally was a Joycean scholar and member of the James Joyce Society. His radio program was a mix of satirical social observation with readings and literary discussion.
I really have got to say, sounded a little bit like Dr. Williams there, don't I? I've got to tell you that Ovid's narrative skills are absolutely excellent. He knows what to tell us. He knows what not to tell us. He doesn't give us a lot of clutter. He assumes an intelligent reader who is more or less familiar with the territory that's being covered, and just does a wonderful job with occasional touches of Ovidian humor, and with a great ability to present the drama, the brutality, the violence of his stories, which is, of course, the necessary undercurrent.
Each month, locally held court at his stand-up academy series at the Swift Hibernian Lounge in the East Village, a classic Irish bar where he spoke to a packed room of devoted fans.
Episode 2 of Ulysses, the schoolroom episode, Nestor. You, Cochrane, what city sent for him? Tarentum, sir.
Outside of WBAI, he penned and drew an ongoing cartoon zine called Dazibow, recent issues of which can be found on his website at simonloekle.com. Simon Locley will be remembered for his unique voice, his wry, acerbic wit, and take no prisoner's attitude. It can truly be said he did as he pleased. Jim Freund, WBAI News, New York.
A memorial to celebrate the life of WBAI's Simon Locley is scheduled for February. He passed away on Saturday at 1:30 a.m., just as he would usually be waking up to do his WBAI program, As I Please, on Saturday mornings. He will be missed by fans and the WBAI family. The news this evening was prepared with help from Judith Pasternak Mahoney, Mark Dunley, and Jim Freund. I'm Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.